Welcome to In the Studio, the podcast dedicated to empowering and elevating dance creatives like you. I'm your host, Aubrey Aries, and in each episode, we'll dive into practical tips, strategies, and inspiring stories to help you take your dance career or project to the next level. Whether you're a choreographer, dancer, producer, or in any other creative role, this is the place to learn, grow, and turn your passion into a success. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and connect with me on AubreyAries.com for more insights and updates. Now, let's jump in to today's episode. Hey everyone, and happy Wednesday. Also, happy Autism Awareness Day. Today is April 2nd, and I'm excited about this episode because we're going to be exploring a different side of dance, one that goes beyond being an instructor, beyond being a studio owner and a professional performer, all the good things. I'll start off by saying that, you know, my perspective on dance has definitely changed over the years. Growing up in studio, it was about like a physical activity, staying committed to something. And I didn't start having to think about dance as a career until I got older, much older, when I was thinking about going into college to pursue dance or, you know, just other professions. And when I got the scholarship for dance to the University of Arizona, I was really at a turning point because I had danced my entire life, but I was also very much told that dance was not a real career and that dance wouldn't bring stability and dance wasn't this and dance wasn't that. And oftentimes when dancers join EMDC or they join my company, I hear that consistently, like, oh, my parents don't know that I'm dancing, or oh, my significant other doesn't think that dance is worthwhile. And I have to admit, I saw dance like that too, which is why I didn't take the scholarship and ended up studying business in college. But obviously my career took a turn. And I have to say that one of the biggest factors that played into me becoming a professional dancer was the Los Angeles Lakers. And even though I auditioned to be a Laker girl, what I didn't realize at the time is that I was actually becoming an ambassador for the Lakers organization, and that dance was just a part of it. Dance was the vessel to get ambassadors onto this franchise and to be able to be the connector between the players and the fans. Now, fast forwarding to when I joined, you know, the salsa and bachata scene, I started seeing dance in a very social outlet, right? So now it wasn't just, oh, I'm connecting on an entertainment level. Now it's, I see the socialization that's happening within a dance environment. And when you grow up in studio, it's not like that. It's just, you know, an after school activity or something to keep you focused and on track as you're growing up. But this, the social aspect was just very intriguing to me. And the more I observed the impact of dance from that lens, the more fascinated I became with how people use dance to connect. And that curiosity led me back to school to study psychology, specifically ABA, which is also known as Applied Behavior Analysis. ABA is a scientific approach when it comes to understanding behavior and making positive changes. You'll often see ABA used to support individuals with ASD, which is also known as autism spectrum disorder. Now let's fast forward to 2020 during COVID. At the time, I just opened EMDC Studio and we were only 1 month in and gearing up for a big grand opening. And then the world shut down. That meant our brand new studio, our classes, and our teams were suddenly on pause. And like many studios, obviously, we quickly moved our classes to Zoom and Skype, but I was worried. I was worried about our instructors, and I was also worried about the group of dancers who need dance. Not want to dance, but that need dance. And meeting on the computer once, 1 hour a week, it felt unfair. And that's when I started thinking, like, how can I make dance essential? How can I make it an essential business? And then I shifted my mind and thought, why isn't dance being looked at as an essential activity for people in our world? And since so many people didn't understand how essential dance truly was until all of this had shut down, had stopped us from meeting and having those social interactions and being able to, you know, dance and move to kind of release all of that built up energy, I felt like it was time for me to sit down and figure it out on how to build something that proved dance's value. And I came up with all of it in my neuroscience class. I didn't take notes on that day. My brain just turned on like a light bulb. And as I started to build this idea, I was like, okay, how am I going to implement this idea? And it just so happened that one of my dancers who joined that season had some connections to a behavioral center. So I created a program and I took it to the head honcho of this behavioral center. And they were like, we love it. We want to do something with you. I just need you to basically share it with 50 plus master students, behavioral therapists, board certified analysts, and board certified doctors of the organization, including its owners and investors. I was like, okay. I was so nervous, you guys. I was so nervous, but I believed that dance was essential and should be considered essential. So I presented. I presented by first explaining how dance is a social skill. One of the biggest challenges for kids and adults with autism is navigating social norms. And dance, by its nature, creates opportunity for interaction, structured interaction, in a fun and engaging way. Then I talked about stimming. Now, for those unfamiliar, stimming is when a person with autism engages in repetitive behaviors like hand flapping, rocking, spinning, and usually it's used as a way to self-soothe when they're overstimulated. Instead of trying to stop stimming altogether, what if dance could redirect the movement in a positive way? And finally, I introduced dance as a focus tool, something that could help individuals with short attention spans engage in activity that is structured yet freeing. I was beyond excited when the organization approved the program, and I was like, this is it. We're going all in. We divided the kids who were interested in the program into three groups. We had our Latin dance, we had our contemporary dance, and we had our hip hop dance. These were all led by our instructors, but before teaching, our instructors went through a specialized course to prepare them for working with kids and adults who are on the spectrum. And remember, those instructors who had lost work due to COVID, they were now not just dance instructors, but they were considered essential workers. They met once a week with their team for 2 hours, leading structured dance sessions while board certified analysts, BCBAs, collected data. This program wasn't just a short-term fix. It took place over an entire year. And in that year, I had the privilege of watching something incredible unfold. I saw our dancers' attention spans grow. Kids who once struggled to focus were now able to stay engaged longer and longer each session. I saw repetitive behaviors decrease. Kids who would often hit themselves when overstimulated were now redirecting that movement into dance, turning those repetitive motions into something more expressive, like a step clap or hands in the air and rocking side to side. But what moved me the most were the connections that were being formed. These kids weren't just dancing. They were laughing together. They were working together. And they were interacting in ways they hadn't before. Now, you would think that what I just mentioned was the most rewarding part of the entire program. But here's what truly made me proud of this work. It was watching the parents and the caregivers. Parents who show up every day fighting for their neurodivergent kids. I got to see them witness something incredible. I watched them see their children enjoy music. I saw them see their children socializing with other kids without fear of meltdowns. And for some of these parents, this was the first time they had seen their child participate in a social activity without feeling overwhelmed. And that made everything so worth it. I get choked up thinking about this work because dance, for dancers, we get it. Like, we get it as dancers, what dance does for our soul, the connection it makes with music and movement. But for dancers, not dancers, but for people who are not dancers and don't understand that vulnerability that comes with it, or don't understand what dance does for a person, for a human, it was like I was watching that in real time. Outsiders observing dancers dance and seeing how impactful it can be on one's life. Taking it to the next level, we decided that we would put these kids in competition. Now, because all of this happened during COVID, finding a venue to like host a recital or a social dance event where they could perform was nearly impossible. So we did a competition online, and it was an international competition. And they represented not just California, but they represented the USA. And we competed virtually at the World Latin Dance Cup, going up against performers from 8 different countries. And guess what? Out of all those countries, our dance project took 2nd place. Yes, 2nd place in international competition. We took 2nd place. Now, bringing it all together, the reason I share this, one, because it's an appropriate time to share it as it's Autism Awareness Day. But number 2, it's because I want to challenge dancers and creatives to think about dance differently. Dance is so much more than performances, competitions, and teaching classes. It's a lifeline for a lot of people. And if you're a dance teacher, studio owner, a parent, a caregiver, I encourage you to explore how dance can be used beyond the traditional paths, especially in supporting individuals with autism. I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode. Have you ever seen dance used as a tool for connection or healing? You know, I want to hear your experiences, and let's keep this conversation going, because if it's helping one community, I'm sure it can help a million others. So today I celebrate Autism Awareness Day. I thank you for tuning in to another episode of In the Studio. And as always, stay creative, stay inspired, and I'll see you in the studio. Happy Wednesday. Have a great week. Bye, guys. Okay, I don't know about you guys, but trying to find the best makeup for stage has always been so hard. Until I was introduced to Standing O Cosmetics. I've been using Standing O for the past 3 years, and I have never felt more confident on stage. So confident, I couldn't keep this one to myself. Now my entire dance company uses this brand for performance. So now I'm letting you in on the little secret. It's easy to apply makeup with colors that pop and just elevate your stage look. So unleash your bold and vibrant side with Standing O Cosmetics. Quality stage makeup. Visit standingocosmetics.com. Use code Aubrey for your special discount.